See everybody out tonight. Whoops, I already made a mistake. Many, I'm sure. Good to see everybody out tonight, especially this row of young people that we have. I'm glad that you guys are here. I put this lesson together with this age group in mind. Now, as soon as I say that, if you're over the age of 18, don't turn me off. The things that I've got to say, I think, are things that we all struggle with, that you're going to continue to struggle with as you grow and as you mature and as you get older. There are things that I struggle with still. But it was with you in mind that I put this lesson together. And so I want to ask a question tonight. At my house, sometimes people don't always make the best decisions. Something will happen or somebody will start following a course. And so we'll talk about it and I'll ask a question. And it usually involves with, why did you do that? Why did you think this was a good idea? Where do you think this is going to lead you? And it usually all revolves back to, who do you want to be? What kind of person do you want to be? And we think about young people as they're growing up and as they're maturing and they're trying to figure out who they are. We're all trying to figure out who we are. Because our lives are always changing. It doesn't matter what age you are. You're going to grow and have a job. You're going to have a career. And that kind of makes you a different person. You're going to grow up and you're going to get married. That's going to make you a different kind of person. You're going to have children. You're going to have a baby. That's different than having a toddler, than having a teenager, being a parent of teens, and so on and so forth. Your life is just constantly changing. So we're all trying to answer this question of, who do you want to be? What kind of person that do you want to be? We all know and we all understand, you know, that the Bible tells us that we're living in the world, but not to be of the world. And so we struggle with that. How do I live here? How do I deal with people? How do I face all the trials and the troubles that I see all the time and still not be of the world? So that's what I want to talk about tonight is who do you want to be? Let's look at some things that we can be and see how that fits into what God wants for His people. So I'm going to ask this question, who do you want to be? And I want you to think about what's your answer? What would you say? And I think kind of the first thing that most of us are going to say, no matter what age you are, is, I want to be like everybody else. I don't want to be different. I don't want to be weird. I don't want to be strange. I don't want to stick out. I just want to be like everybody else. I think we all have some of that in us, and at different stages of life, you feel it stronger than maybe other times, but we have this desire is we want to be like everybody else. We don't want to be different. Well, in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 13, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." What's Jesus talking about here? What he's telling us is, most people, if we want to be like everybody else, most people are going the easy way. They're taking the broad path. Many are going to find that. And what are they going to find? Where does that easy way lead? Well, it leads to destruction, which is not somewhere we want to go. That's not somebody we want to be. We don't want to be like everybody else. The gate is narrow, the way is hard that leads to life. Let's be honest. Sometimes it's hard to be a Christian. It's easy to follow the crowd. It's easy to do what everybody else is doing. That's the easy thing to do. The hard thing is to take a stand and say, no, I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to do this. And as Christians, we need to take the time to examine everything. It's easy to, and why is that way to destruction easy? It's because I don't really have to work at it. It doesn't take much effort. I just follow everybody else, and I don't have to stop and think about what I'm doing. If we want to follow Jesus, if we want to enter the way of life, it's going to be hard. We're going to have to look at the things that we're doing. We're going to have to look at the people that we're with and the things that we watch, the things that we say, all kinds of things, and take them captive in our minds and think about what they mean and where they're leading us and what they're doing for us. In Romans chapter 12, I'm sure this is a verse that you all know. In verse 2, he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. He says, don't be conformed. When I think of something that's conformed, I think of something that it allows the pressure around it to form it into something else. And I think of something that's soft. Something that's easily moved, easily bent, easily changed. And Paul says, don't be like that. You need to be transformed. Don't let the world change you. Don't be soft. Don't let the world change you. Don't let the world mold who you're going to be. He says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Well, what does that mean? How do we do that? How do we renew our minds? It says, by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. We need to test things. Just because someone says it, doesn't mean you automatically accept it. Just because most people are doing it, doesn't make it right. And I think we all know that, and that's something we all understand, but the practical application of it's a lot more difficult, isn't it? We want to be like everybody else. But Jesus says, that way, the way that most people are going, that's the easy way, and that's the way that leads to destruction. So we don't want to do that. And you say, okay, I get that, I understand. You probably knew exactly what I was going to say when I threw that up on the board, that, you know, we don't want to be like everybody else. And so you think, okay, if I can't really be like everybody else, you know what? I'm going to be better than everybody else. That seems noble. I'll be better than everybody else. Everybody's going this broad, easy way. I'm going to be better than that, and I'm not going to do that. I want to be better than everybody else. Well, let's look at a couple verses about this. In 2 Corinthians 10:12, this is Paul writing here again, and he says, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. What's he saying? What he's saying is, when I'm comparing myself to you to decide whether I'm walking the right way or I'm being the right kind of Christian that God wants me to be, I'm without understanding. When I look at my life and I pattern my life of who I want to be and I want to be better than everyone else, what standard are you using? Is that a measurement against God's standard or the world's standard? You know, I think about this. My youngest son, so excited that he's finally taller than me. That's great, but just because you're taller than me doesn't make you tall. Unfortunately, you're measuring yourself by a bad standard. You know, I am short. Being taller than me is not that big of an accomplishment. But in the same way, I don't do the sins that these people are doing, so therefore I'm better than them, so I'm okay, is not a good standard to use either. Just being better than other people is not the right standard. And what Paul says here, people that do that, they measure themselves by one another and they compare themselves to one another, they're without understanding. That's not a good standard of measurement. The other thing about this, about wanting to be better than everyone else, thinking about not going that broad, easy way, sounds noble, but it's dangerous for us to think we're better than others. In Romans chapter 12, remember that verse we just read about not being conformed to the world? The very next verse, Paul says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Just being changed, just being a different person, doesn't make us better than everyone else. Because what's the one thing? The one thing that everyone has done. We've all sinned. All of us have. No matter what age you are, no matter where you came from, we've all sinned. We all continue to sin. We all stumble. We all fall. So me comparing myself and my stumblings and my failings as somehow better than your stumblings and your failings is a false standard to measure by. We don't want to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, that because I'm not committing the bad sins you are, my sins aren't quite as bad as yours, so I'm okay. We need to be careful about that. Wanting to be better than everyone else, it sounds noble, it sounds like a good idea, But it's not a good standard to measure ourselves by. So you say, okay, that makes sense. I understand. I understand I can't really be better than everyone else, and I understand what you're saying about not being like everyone and not being better than everyone else. So who do you want to be? What kind of person do you want to be? You might say, well, I want to be well known and respected. I want to be popular. I want people to know who I am. Are there some dangers with that? Let's look at what Jesus says to his disciples. He warns the disciples about how the world would treat his disciples. He says in John 15, verses 18 through 19, he says, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Jesus says here, he's talking to his disciples, and in John 15, this is right before he's going to be crucified, and he's kind of giving them a last dissertation about what they're going to do and what's coming to them and what's going to happen. And this is one thing he tells the disciples, that the world is going to hate you. The world hates me. This is Jesus speaking. The world hates me. People haven't been following me, so they're not going to follow you. They're not going to understand what you're doing. They're not always going to want to do what you're doing. And so if who I want to be is a well-known, well-respected person, now I understand we want to be respectable people. We want to be the best people that we can. But if we're living for Jesus and we're living for God, people may not respect us because of that fact and because of the stand that we might take and because of the things we might say no to or the things that we won't do or the things that we actually are doing. You go to church on Sunday night too? That's strange. You know, people don't understand that. They're not always going to respect the choices that we make as a Christian. But Jesus says here, if you are of the world would love you as its own. And if my goal is to be loved by the world and to be respected and to be well known and to be popular, does that make me of the world? I think we need to be careful about that. We don't want to be of the world. We want to be different. Jesus said, I chose you out of the world. People aren't always going to understand what we do. Let's read this passage in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. This is Peter, and he says, the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they'll give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. People are going to be surprised when you don't want to join them in their sin. And if my goal at life is, and the person I want to be is this well-respected, popular person, when I say, no, I'm not going to go to that party, or I'm not going to go to that place, or no, I don't really want to watch that movie, they're going to be surprised. And it says they're going to malign you, which is kind of a nice way to say they're going to make fun of you. And they're going to make fun of us for taking a stand and for saying, no, I don't want to do that. I mean, you don't want to go to this party? There's going to be alcohol there. Are you sure you don't want to go? Nobody's parents are going to be home. What do you mean you don't want to go? You know, those are the kinds of things we're going to hear. Those are the kinds of things they're going to say to us. And Peter says here, they're surprised that you don't join them. They don't understand. They're not going to understand. And for us to be well known, to be respected, to be popular, if we're following Christ and we want to be a Christian, they're not going to understand the choices that we make. So we have to be careful about that too. So they say, okay, well, I get it. Being like everybody else, that's not going to work. Being better than everyone else, that's not a right attitude to have. I understand that. Being well known and respected, yes, I get that. We're not supposed to be of the world, so people in the world aren't going to respect me. So what am I left with? Well, how about this? I just want to be myself. Have you ever said that? I say that all the time. I just want to be myself. I just want to be able to do the things that I want to do and not worry about it. People say, you do you, right? That's your standard of measurement. How I feel is the standard I'm going to use. Well, let's look at a few passages about that. In Galatians chapter 2, and in verse 20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If I say I just want to be myself, this goes back to that kind of standard of measurement. I'm not going to use everybody else as a standard of measurement, but if I'm using myself as the standard of measurement, I've sinned, I've made mistakes, I've made bad choices. And Paul doesn't say here, hey everybody, do what I do. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. Who I am, my identity, has been put to death. And who I am now, I'm a follower of Christ. That's who I am. And sometimes when myself makes decisions, myself gets myself in trouble. Okay? So myself is not a very good standard because I don't always make the best decisions. So I need to make decisions based on what God wants me to do. And allowing myself and my own body, my own desires to be crucified with Him and to follow Christ. We should be imitating God. That's who we want to be. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, he says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We should be imitators of God as children. We're going to talk about this a little bit more here in a few minutes. But as beloved children, we need to be imitating God, walking in love. Why? And how? As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. It goes back to what Paul said earlier. We talked about in Galatians that he didn't live for himself, that he had been crucified with Christ. Why did Christ do that? Because he loves us. And me just being myself and using myself as a standard of measurement, it isn't going to work. That's not imitating God. Can you honestly look at yourself and honestly say to yourself, if I just do what I feel and what I want to do, I'll be an imitator of God? I don't think, if we're honest, that we know that we can't say that. So we want to imitate God. We want to crucify the flesh and the desires that we have, give ourselves over to Christ, be imitators of Him. So being ourself, being myself, if I say that's who I want to be, I just want to be myself, I understand the attraction to that, and in some ways you need to be who you are in respect to the type of person that you are. But as far as your spiritual walk, we should always be changing. We should always be growing. We should never be stagnant and stay where we are. We're always going to change. We're always going to be different and be better. And so if I just want to be myself, I'm going to fall. I'm going to fail God. And so at this point you think, okay, is there any hope? Okay? I understand I can't be like everybody else. I understand that being better than everybody else, that's not a good standard of measurement. I understand that. I get why I can't be well known and respected, why that can't be my goal in life, that can't be my identity. And being myself isn't going to work because I sin and because I make mistakes. So what's left? Well, how about this? How about we just say, I want to be a child of God? And keep it very simple and very straightforward. That's who I want to be. And I hope that's who you want to be. Being a child of God. You know, if you're a Christian, if you've been baptized, if you've crucified that old man of flesh with Christ, you are part of God's family. In Ephesians 1 and verses 4 and 5, it says, in love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. In love, he adopted us. He chose us. Okay, we were orphaned and alone, and in our sin, Christ died so that he could adopt us and we could be a part of his family. We're part of God's family. In Galatians 3:26, he says, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. And so what I want to do here is just explore two principles that Jesus taught about what it means to be in God's family and to be a child of God. If we're following God, we are a child of God. So let's look at what that means, and let's kind of talk about that for a minute. Do you remember the story in the Gospels when Jesus, you probably saw the picture when you were in Bible class of Jesus sitting on the rock and all the little kids are coming around him. You've seen that picture. Do you remember what happened? All these little kids are coming up to Jesus. People are bringing their babies to him and their little children to Jesus, and he's blessing them, and they want their children to see Jesus, and the disciples get upset. And they come up and say, get these kids out of here. They're bothering the master. This is Jesus. He doesn't have time for these little children. Do you remember that story? What does Jesus do? He rebukes the disciples and says, let those children come to me. And look at what he says here. Jesus called to them and he said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. What does he mean? What is he saying? I have to be childish and immature? Is that what he's talking about? He says, for these little children coming to him, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. If you don't receive the kingdom of God like a child, you won't enter. What's he talking about? Well, think about a young child. And I know you don't believe me, but at some point in your life, you thought your parents could do anything. You did. I remember being brought toys, snapped totally in half. No tears. Like, aren't you upset you broke that? Nah, Dad'll fix it. Like, I don't know if I can. I can't fix everything. But kids just assume their parents can do anything. They assume their parents are always right. Have you ever seen, and as sad as it is, a child with parents who are rotten, who are worldly, who are maybe messed up in drugs or adultery or something in their life, and the parents are just awful to the kids? The kids still love those parents. Have you ever seen that? I mean, that's what jumps in my mind when I hear this example. And what Jesus is talking about here is that trusting innocence of a child. And how a young child, looks at their parents, looks at their father. You know, God is our father if we're Christians. How a child looks at their father and they just trust that whatever they say is right. Whatever they say, that's what I'm going to do. Mom and Dad are always right. And I know you probably still feel that way, yes? Okay. Just trust me, stick with it. But as a young children, and you know, we kind of make jokes about it, but I hope you understand what I mean. What I'm saying is, a young child, their parent is their world. That's all they know. Everything they know, everything they understand, comes from their parent, comes from their father. And for us as Christians, that's what Jesus is talking about here. That innocence and that trust of just giving ourselves to God, just following Him, just doing what He says. Do I always understand? No. Do I always get it? No. Do I always necessarily agree? No. But I'm going to follow God because He's my Father. Because I love Him, because He loves me, because of what He's done for me. I'm not going to worry about whether I get it or not. Or I'm not going to worry about whether it makes sense to me. I'm just going to do what He says. And all these other things we talked about earlier in the lesson, they'll fall into place if we just follow God like an innocent, trusting child and obey Him. Another principle that Jesus teaches to us is that as God is a Father, and how He wants to take care of us and how He wants to watch over us. In Matthew chapter 7, this is Jesus speaking again. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Now, I've got more scripture. We're going to go to the next slide. But I want to pause here for a second. Do you understand what that's telling you? We talked in the beginning of the lesson how it's hard to be a Christian. It's hard to make that right choice sometimes. It's hard to go that narrow way. Jesus says here, this is Jesus speaking, this is our King, and He says, if you ask, it's going to be given to you. If you're seeking, you're going to find. If you knock, it's going to be open. If you are sincerely wanting to follow God, as hard as it can be and as difficult as it can be, if you're sincere in your heart and you want to find God and you're seeking for Him, you're going to find Him. He's going to give you the answer. He's going to help you. If you're sincerely knocking, looking for answers to something, if you're asking for help, if you are wanting God to lead you through some trial or something going on in your life, some kind of sin that you're caught up in and you just can't seem to get over it, if you are honest and you give yourself to God and you ask Him for help and you're seeking that answer, God's going to give you that answer. God's going to give you what you need. He's going to be there for you. That's our Father. And Jesus goes on to say in verse 9, He says, "Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who's in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him?" And here He's talking about God. When we pray for things, when we ask for things, God is a Father. He wants to give us the things that we need. It's not necessarily always the things that we want, but think about a father, think about a parent on this earth. We want to see our kids succeed. We want to see you guys do well. I want to see you do well in school. I want to see you do well in college. I want to see you do well in your career. I want you to have a great marriage. I want you to have a great family. I want all of that for you. But more importantly than all of that stuff is God wants, and we want as parents, your spiritual success. That's what matters. That's what we want. And if you're seeking and you're asking and you're knocking and you're looking for those answers, we're going to be here to help you. And that's what God is saying here. If you're looking for God, if you're looking for answers, if you're looking for help, earthly parents, we're going to give you that help. We want to help you. God wants the same thing for His children spiritually. He's going to give us the things that we need. He's going to help us. He's not going to give us things that we don't want or that we don't need. He's not going to turn us away if we're actively seeking. Now, sometimes the answer isn't always what we want to hear. But if we're honest and we're really asking, we're really seeking, we're really knocking, God's going to answer us. God's going to give us the things that we need. He's going to help us with our problems. He's going to help us with our issues. He's going to help us be the kind of people that we want to be. If you would like to, go ahead and take out your songbooks. We'll sing the song of invitation here in just a few moments. Appreciate everybody being here. Appreciate your attention. I hope the things we've talked about have been helpful to you. And like I said, I give this lesson toward the youth, but this problem does not go away. It's going to keep going through your whole life. As you do different things and as your life changes and as you grow, you're going to be constantly asking yourself, who do I want to be? Who do you want to be? Do you want to be a child of God? All those other things we talked about, those are things that we get mixed up in and we worry about. But when it comes right down to it, being a child of God is going to cover all of that other stuff. So I'll ask the audience, I'll ask everyone here tonight, who are you? Are you a child of God? Have you been living for Him? Have you been serving Him? Maybe you haven't. Maybe you realize, you know what, I have been caught up and being like everybody else. I've let that pull me off the path. I've been going the easy way. I got to change. Or I've been too worried about what people think about me. I'm too worried about being well known and respected. I got to change. Make that change. And if you need our help to do that, you can come forward. You know, we make a big production out of, you know, going forward, right? It's this big thing. If you just flag me down, I'll come to you and we'll walk up together. If you need help, if you need the congregation to help you, we want to pray with you. We want to help you. We want to know what your struggles are. We want to help you. And this goes for all of us. That's what it's about. That's why we're here. That's why we're here together. And even more than that, if you aren't a child of God, if you've never been baptized, if you've never crucified that old man and been raised again with Christ, what are you waiting for? Why would you wait? We know what awaits those who wait. And I don't have to tell you, and I don't have to try to scare you with, you know, this could be your last day on earth and all of that stuff. You know all that. You've heard all of that. The question goes back to, who do you want to be? Do you want to be a child of God? Do you want to live with Him? Do you want to live for Him? Do you want to respond in faith to the love that He's shown to you? Be baptized tonight. Don't put it off anymore. So whatever you need, whatever the help that you need, please come forward. Please let us know while we stand and sing.